I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Have the communist vegans at the BBC destroyed your faith in humanity? Are you worried that watching too much football has made you racist? Why not take your mind off of society's ills by getting some culture? The Football Ramble have teamed up with audible.co.uk to bring you an audiobook of your choice for free. Sign up for a free one-month trial with no obligation to continue and claim your audiobook now by visiting audible.co.uk/footballramble.
Me with a fish fork. It's the Football Ramble, ladies and gentlemen. My name's Marcus and I've got Jim with me.
Hello.
Pete.
Brian's got a toy and I haven't got one.
And Luke.
Go fuck yourself.
It's an early one. Ooh.
An
early contender for go fuck yourself of the season.
Parents boom yet.
No.
And they know what they're listening to now. Right, okay. Did you hear that Lazio defender Luciano Zauri rescued a girl? From a well. She fell into a well.
Okay.
She was a child as well. Not just any girl. It was like a 7-year-old girl. And wasn't she the daughter
granddaughter
of the head of the Polish FA?
Yeah, Boniek, famous Polish football player. Yeah. Quite the talent back in the day.
It was a restaurant in Rome. I was quite intrigued. She fell into the 4-metre-deep well when the beam covering it gave way. What on earth are they playing?
Some of the best restaurants do have wells with beams covering them.
I've never been to a restaurant containing a well. No. That may say more about me than the restaurant business.
And I've been to the Rainforest Cafe.
Yeah.
A 4-metre.
Yeah.
How old is the restaurant? If it's been there for like hundreds and hundreds of years.
That would never happen. What, you're going to cover that up? Well, just put a beat. No, cover it up.
It's a natural feature. It's grade 2 listed.
Yeah. To be fair, what's she doing on a beam?
Yeah.
If it's just the beam covering the well.
You maybe have to walk across the well.
I blame the parents.
I strongly doubt that.
Yeah,
that is not
unless
it does happen all the time.
Is it?
Yeah, but the well's in the bloody restaurant.
Get to the question.
Well, I would like to ask you, rescue you from a well if you fell down one, Jim?
If I fell down a well, and I'm quite clumsy, so this could happen. So if I ever fell down a well and I was stranded and a footballer had to rescue me, you know, as logic would follow, I would choose Robin Van Persie, right? And then as soon as I got out of the well, I would kick him down the well and pull up the rope and leave him behind like he left me behind.
Oh. I can't even cane him for that. It's, you know,
an emotional response.
A broken man.
The listeners cannot see into Jim Campbell's eyes. They can't question it.
And he'd get down there and he'd shout, he's going, hang on, this isn't well water. These are tears.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'd have had to build the well for my own tears. I wouldn't have even got stuck in it. It would have just built up around me.
I was going to suggest what you could do is to request seeing Robin Van Persie when he poked his treacherous head over the parapet.
His tread.
Your tears could fill you up and float you to the top of the well.
Yeah.
That would work.
And then I'll throw him in.
It's a lot more poetic. You could drown him in your own tears.
Pete?
Telegraphed by Luke Moore about 5 seconds ago, I would go for Sven because he is good with wells.
I didn't know you were going to say that. Sorry about that.
There you go. It's quite all right. It's quite all right, Luke.
Fair enough. Luke?
I'm quite a heavy man.
I hope you enjoyed the Football Ramble this week.
I would need
some
strong, dependable types. I'd probably go for a combination of Nigel de Jong and Mark Van Bommel as a dream team. Mm. And they could...
construct a crin.
Could maybe karate kick me up to the top. Like a Streets of Rage style computer game.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just thought that Streets of Rage bit off the top of my head, so it didn't really work. But someone strong. Not like... I would never go for a striker like a Jermaine Defoe who would always sort of let you down. I'd always go for strong, robust, defensive midfield players.
Defoe would keep trying sort of really extravagant ways to do it.
And refusing
really
help.
Yeah.
For people to help him.
What about... I can't believe I've forgotten his name. The Northampton Town big lad.
No, you mean Akinfenwa?
Akinfenwa.
Yeah, not bad. He'd get stuck in there, wouldn't
he? He'd just pull the actual well up.
He'd pull the world down.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Yeah, he'd pull the earth down.
I was thinking maybe Stuart McCall, Motherwell, the well. That's a nickname he's probably used to.
Remember when he got pissed and fell off that car?
Yeah.
Do you want him getting you out of a well?
A licensed restaurant. Oh, yeah, that's a minefield.
Yeah, exactly. He's used to and familiar with the well. Or Alexis Sanchez, being Chilean.
Isn't kind of like a little tube
on that vibe though? Isn't he more likely to get stuck down there with you?
Yeah. No, they've learned their lesson in Chile. Though. I imagine they're quite well drilled on such things.
I actually saw a guy on the tube in London dressed as a miner in one of those in that rocket pod that they rescued him. He had two biffer bins, one upside down. On top of him with a visor thing. Yeah. He had the sunglass on the old wall and people were wheeling him around in the other biffer bin.
That's a very comprehensive... And to be honest, would he not lose his deposit for that biffer bin?
Well, it's worth it.
His refuse is not getting collected.
The joy that filled my heart is worth it.
How did you make the connection, though? It's just a man in a bin.
No, because he had it painted on the side. I forget the name of it.
Said, I am a Chilean miner.
Yeah. He had like, the name of the rescue capsule painted on the side.
Right, okay.
I forget what it is now. It was a while
ago. Chuby.
Yeah.
I've got the points.
I'm surprised you've given yourself the points there because you've overridden Sven in something. That must have been really hard for you to make that decision.
He'll be back.
I'm not surprised because you're a corrupt cunt.
You're the blasphemer.
Oh, hang on. There's a C.
What I like about
it is unnecessary.
Sorry, apologies everyone.
Luke started his new job and he's got to get all the swears out somehow. Honestly, foul man.
You say new job? I've kept him on for a bit longer.
Yeah,
we're doing the snow.
Yeah.
He's had a 1 year extension.
He's cleared the driveway. Let's go to the Premier League, where Arsenal got no points at Stamford Bridge, Jim. They're 7 points off fourth spot with the game in hand.
They are.
Better second half, but not quite enough.
Well, this has been the problem lately, isn't it? The last three games, you could say, that Arsenal basically haven't woken
problems.
Up until the second... haven't woken up until the second half. And if you play like that, you are effectively giving the opposition a head start. If you're just sort of going to, you know, wander around in a doze for the first 45 minutes. And, you know, Wenger pointed to the foul on Cucullin in the build-up to Juan Mata's goal. But, you know, you've got to play to the whistle. Mm. Even if that had been hadn't been a foul, the same passage of play could well have happened. And the team switched off. I think Chesney should have done better for that as well. It's just... it's maddening.
I think Arsenal could... There was something in the game for Arsenal if they had... a little bit of a harder centre. I mean, they're such a soft centre team. They seem so fragile.
I don't know whether... It's down to them being soft because, you know, these are all athletes that are surely capable of getting stuck in. I think it's a lack of application. You know, there seems to be so little sort of actual motivation there. They're just
What's the issue with Ramsey, by the way?
His form's been indifferent for a long time, so the crowd is sort of on his back. And he's been played out of position, to be fair to him. He's been played on the left, which is a really unnatural position for a player like Ramsey, so I don't really understand that.
I thought Ramirez terrorised him in the middle of the park in that game. And I wondered, I've not seen enough. When Ramsey first came back from his injury, he was tearing into challenges and he looked quite good. I didn't know he dropped off quite so badly. But I would have liked to, on form, you'd play him ahead of Coquelin, wouldn't you?
No, I think Coquelin is a little more likely to get stuck in there.
That's the player I'd go with.
Diaby as well. Game sort of
anonymous man. Is he fully fit?
Well, no, he's never been fully fit, has he? I think that's his problem. I think he might have to be made into glue at the end of the season. It's just you're going to have to make a decision on that. Obviously, it's very sad for the guy, but if you want to compete, you can't be having those risks.
There's talk of Gorkov coming in on loan.
He's not going to give him any steer in the middle, though.
No, exactly, a bit of craft.
Yeah, maybe, but they've got Cazorla for that and Wilshere for
keep
that.
The ball so you don't have to win it back.
Yeah, maybe. I think with Diaby, I don't want him to retire or have to leave because obviously that would be tragic, but also because I really have got used to Wenger saying every single time when he comes back it'll be like a new signing.
Yeah, that's not just Diaby, that's anyone who's injured.
Any player, yeah.
Like, you know, if there's a break, it's like, yeah, by the next game we'll have 11 new signings.
What do you think
meaning the same players.
What do you think of the penalty?
You guys. It was an interesting one. I think he fell over, but I can understand why the referee gave it because from his position.
Was it a sending off?
There were two players behind, weren't there? So
you thought it was, didn't you?
Initially I felt very strongly that it was because it definitely. I mean, I don't know. We're looking at the replays. He may have lost control of the ball and someone was coming in, so he may not have been able to pull the trigger. But I don't think it really matters too much about the two players on the line, because if a player goes through and there's only got the goalkeeper to beat and is pulled down by a defender, you don't say, oh, it's not a red because the keeper's there. It's an obvious goal scoring opportunity has been denied. So maybe it should have been a red, but it was one of those ones where I could sort of see it either way when I thought about it. But initially, I definitely thought it was a red. Yeah.
It was a strange one as well, because Chesney didn't seem in any way surprised that it had been given, but there's very little contact on Ramirez from
him
himself.
First. Yeah.
It's a strange one. Yeah.
Does Sky's Super Sunday coverage make you not want to watch football?
I find it's like being punched with the idea of football.
It's just Super Sunday, so I'll decide. Yeah. The matches might be rubbish. Yeah. You know, just because they're two slightly more popular sides. How is it going to... Well, it annoys me.
I'll tell you what Sky TV love. They love a poll. Do the poll at the end of the games and say, has it been a Super Sunday or not? Over 50% Super Sunday. Play the ident. If not, leave it.
It should be a retrospective thing, Super Sunday, shouldn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not against motherfucking Monday, but...
It should be like a terrorism scale. It's like super, average, rubbish, and whatever the games have been like, it sort of totals up.
But and if Tony Garrido appears on screen at any point, like, everybody just goes, nah, no, it's gone.
No.
Everyone has a shot.
He never gets the Sunday gigs.
A saucy Sunday.
No.
would be my choice. What about Chelsea, though? I mean, people still bashing Benitez down at the bridge.
I love how much he just does not care.
He's just oblivious, isn't he?
Yeah, well, I think he just doesn't care. It's almost like, well, if I do well, it's good because I'm doing well in my job. If I do badly, it's good because I hate Chelsea.
But I suppose as long as the tag of interim manager is still displayed every time he comes on the television, then why would you really give... two shiny shites.
Well, he's in a shop window, isn't he?
Do you think the negative attitude towards Benitez is affecting their home form?
Well, I think, you know, if there's pressure on the manager, there's pressure on the team, because you hear that, those same reactions from the fans.
The home form's been poor,
James Park as well. So I think, you know, any negative influence towards any aspect of the team is always going to be bad by its very nature.
You know that being an Arsenal fan, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, it really quite obviously transfers to the team.
I just think it's somebody you've got to get behind some facet of your team. You can't just sort of go, this drawing of Frank Lampard is the best. You know. He was good, like, you know, a few years ago. It's just
it's a good impression.
It's an excellent impression. Well, let's go to St James's Park.
No.
Peter,
don't want to.
That's what the Newcastle players are saying.
There was a lot of booing. There was a lot of booing because they were beaten at home by Reading 2-1. Niall Ranger vented his anger at the fans on Twitter, saying, certain fans need to not come and support the team coming out to boo us. Stay at home. Don't need your boos. Say no more.
And didn't one of the fans then reply saying, you've been arrested more times than you've scored goals for Newcastle? Shut up.
You can't get your shin pads on because there is a tag on your leg.
Would
you be one of the boo boys, Pete?
No, I certainly wouldn't be myself, but I
respect it. He boos to us every time he buys a ticket. 50 quid! 50 quid again!
What was it, 56 last season for the Chelsea match away?
Don't buy it.
And it was about that price for Norwich away for a lot of fans. I went down there, and it's a hell of a trip. You know, I respect anybody who stumps up the cash to go and watch a football match so they can do what they bloody want, to be honest. But it wouldn't be a decision that I made, to be honest. But
are Newcastle going to get relegated?
Actually, it's not looking good at the moment.
Two points above the relegation zone at the moment. That is worrying.
You know, so we're basically saying they've got the right to do it, but you need to acknowledge it doesn't help the team, essentially.
Yeah, I'd go with that.
It's true.
I think Newcastle fans have got a lot more right to do it than perhaps Chelsea fans, to be quite frank. They've got a lot more to be annoyed about. I think it's just the manner in which they sort the capitulation, the way that, you know, you can talk all day about the Kabay. He brought Kabay off because it was apparently a groin injury. The player himself admitted, but the actual he substituted Marvaux for James Perch, and you know he's not an attacking footballer, James Perch, which kind of sort of told everyone, right, we're playing for this 1-0, and Newcastle have never been able to hold on to a 1-0 ever.
Reading love a comeback, don't they?
It's a great win for Reading.
They should be renamed Lazar Reading. Lazarus, that Reading Lazarus.
It works. Yeah. Definitely works.
I don't think it does. But
De Guzman-esque, the Kabay free kick, wasn't it?
It was a lovely free kick, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Really nice.
Yeah, great win for Reading, though. Do we see Reading hanging on? Are they going to drop off?
They've got a bit of momentum.
Well, we often talked about them in the Championship having the second half of the season spurge. Yeah. Is that going to happen in the Premier League? Maybe they're going to finish in Europe.
I think we also commented, or one of us certainly did, about how they seem to have been like a team who had an amazing run of form in the Championship and suddenly just woke up and found themselves in the Premier League. They didn't really expect it, and it took them ages to get used to the idea.
Yeah.
So maybe now they are getting used to the idea. And with Glenville, Adam, James Lafondra and the Vanguard, who would bet against them? Actually, I would bet against them because I think they might get relegated.
Yeah, I would often bet against them. Yeah. Were I a betting man? Okay. Sorry, could I afford to be a betting man?
Were you going to say? Oh, sorry, I thought you were going to carry on from that.
I was going to talk about Cissé, actually.
Okay. Well, let's go to West Ham then, QPR.
Really?
that what you were saying?
No,
no, the other Newcastle Seasay, presumably.
Oh, sorry. I'm jumping around.
It's really a convoluted route
indeed
to get back to St James's Park. Because Adam Federici made an incredible save against him. And it was a good header from Seasay going in exactly the right direction.
Yeah, that turn and volley as well, which was really strong. I know it was right after him, but it was rasping.
But
wonderful
it seemed
shot.
To really knock Seasay. He was quite poor after those saves. Like he just sort of didn't quite know how to beat him, so he was just guessing almost.
Yeah, well, I think that's sort of one where it was him against the keeper. The ball came in, and he should really have finished it. He looked really sort of just I'll get this in. No worry. Oh god, I missed. Shit.
what seems different to you this season from last season?
I'd sort of argue that you're only really missing out on Ben Arfa, who wasn't a regular last season. Yohan Cabaye was a big one. Teotis could be kind of in and out of the team, and indeed in and out of form. They're just not. Each individual player is not performing.
Do you think they got complacent after last season? Then maybe.
That's Pardew's
job.
Yeah, it's just a lack of resilience. It's a lack of seeing the game off when you're a couple of goals to the good or one goal to the good, which Newcastle have never been good at, but we just need to do something because it's just not looking great.
He's talking of going in for another French player, that Yohan Gouffran from Bordeaux.
But didn't they put in a bid of about 750,000, which just sort of laughed out of town?
But they reckon like a million might see him there.
He's like a forward wide player, isn't he, as well?
I like the idea of a football being laughed out of town.
Yeah. Get out of here, you lousy ape. Agent scum.
Reminiscent of the Gary Cook years.
Well, I had Gary Cook in my head, but I thought I'd let him go for another week.
Well, the fact, just ha ha ha, the fact. Like when Bruce Willis gets the machine gun, Die Hard, ho ho ho, he facts it back.
But I just like how Harry Redknapp's sort of using, Graham Carr as his own personal scouting man.
Was he?
Like every time Newcastle go in for a team player, QPR go in for him.
Apparently,
as well.
Real Madrid would genuinely have scouts following Arsenal scouts in the past.
Oh, really?
Like when Wenger was getting the jump on.
Not anymore.
No.
right, in North London, Spurs drew 1-1 with Manchester United. Their fans weren't booing at the end of the game; they were bloody celebrating. An injury time equaliser from Clint Dempsey, deserved.
Yeah. Lovely image of AVB celebrating.
It was.
He's done well against Ferguson, hasn't he? This season,
4 points.
Great,
4 points.
Spurs were the better team.
Absolutely,
they were excellent,
vibrant.
But if you look at that front four, six, if you like, of Spurs, it's very strong. Dempsey, Dembele, Bale, Lennon, Defoe, Parker.
A bit disappointed with Kyle Walker for the Van Persie goal. He's not had the best of season. I think he's got a bit complacent, really. Lennon's been good. Lennon really benefits from Bale being so good, because everyone's like, shit, Bale. And then Lennon's
thanks for him. It's a similar threat. It's a lot for teams to work on, though. Such a similar thing on either flank.
And it's not the first time that Lennon's torn Everett to pieces either. Mm.
Yeah, the fullbacks get a good workout at White Hart Lane.
Oh, big time.
The opposing fullbacks.
That in itself stunts your own attacking play.
David De Gea got a bit of criticism at the end. He made some great saves, actually, some slightly unorthodox ones as well, but kept them in it. And at the end, I mean, is it a case of, is he bad with crosses? Should he have got a bit of punch? He was under a lot of pressure.
A lot of bodies in the box.
Was it that terrible a mistake?
He wasn't the only one that's culpable, though. They're all at sea there.
It wasn't a great punch, but there was still an opportunity to clear it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think the other thing, Gary Neville made a really interesting point about De Gea, is that he parries shots too hard. That basically, when he gets down, he parries them back into play. Mm-hmm. When he shows slightly softer hands and parry them out for corners, isn't it? But then, having said that, if he's going to deal with crosses with soft hands when it comes to punch, then he's got it the wrong way around. But I mean, overall, he had an excellent game. It was just a bit unfortunate at the end. But the pressure by Spurs was like Man United pressure, wasn't it?
It was.
The other way around.
It looked inevitable, and it was. And Ferguson complaining about the penalty they should have had in the first half is I think it was the second half. That's not why they dropped points. They dropped points because they dropped points because they completely switched off right at the end. And it was a threat that was repeatedly coming towards them. So they should have been used to dealing with it.
I thought Pat Nevin made a good point on Match of the Day too, when he said that. From the referees,
Pat Nevin.
Yeah.
He said the National are my favourite band.
When he said that, actually, from the referee's angle, it looks like Rooney kicked the defender.
Well, Dermot Gallagher said on Sky Sports News today as well that he doesn't even think it was a penalty.
Right. So then Hansen was just belittled him and was like, "Oh, don't be ridiculous." But it's like, no, actually. He's not actually saying it wasn't a penalty, but what he was saying was spot on.
Pat Levin took his headphones off and went, "What? Sorry, what?"
Put his book down.
Yeah.
Indeed, elsewhere in London, a lot of games in London on the weekend. West Ham 1, QPR 1. Julio Cesar with a very impressive performance. He's great.
He is. I mean, well, it's Julio Cesar.
I know.
It's playing just, for QPR.
Well, you forget, don't you?
Yeah. It's amazing. Then he got a little bit, not rubbish, but a little bit average. Now he's
a bit round.
Quite good again.
Yeah, Remy, we're talking French players. Remy opened his account for Rangers.
Mm.
Watson, because Remy was called offside quite a few times, but John Watson really made me laugh on much of the day.
Watson was very animated.
Well, because he said like something about Remy being offside and caught offside a couple of times. Like, he's going to have to get used to that. Like, they have the offside rule in France.
Lee offside.
They have dealt with this before.
How are you getting on, Loic? Yeah, just some of the rule changes. A bit, just get my head around them.
Why can't you use your hands?
Who's the bloke with the flag who keeps ruining my attack?
You know, I said I scored like 100 goals in my last club. Yeah. I was sort of throwing it in the net. Apparently you can't do that here.
Yeah. Motson was very animated.
It was absolute, like, Dunkirk stuff for I think I read that there were 45 crosses into the
46
box.
Crosses 46 it was
and 23 shots.
Yeah, it's amazing. But that shows that Redknapp's got them defending properly, because under Hughes that would have been 46-1.
Yeah, wouldn't it? Big Jim Hill just eating the ball up. This is what I live for. Just can't bring it over again.
Shamak missed a couple of chances and he was taken off. Do you think it's a bit harsh? Just whipped off.
Colin Cole made the goal, though. That leap he had that set up Joe Cole, because Colin Cole came on, didn't he?
Shamak had a similar header, but there was no one there to tap it in.
It's his hair.
Uh-huh.
It's confusing the angle of the shot he made.
Gabriel Cisse, he's left QPR until the end of the season. He's gone on loan to Qatar side Al Garafa, managed by Alan Perrin.
Yeah, ex-Pompey, yeah.
Ex-Pompey. It's a money move.
Well, they all are these days. Very rarely find one that isn't.
But is it not a bit of a strange one? I mean, obviously Redknapp has said no. Get lost.
Yeah. Well, it might be that, you know, Cisse's got to be, what, 32 now? Around that sort of age. So, I mean,
liable to be
sent off. You're looking at a 6-month massive paycheck. You can't blame anyone for doing
that. No, I'm not blaming him. But
how would this make any difference? Because surely Al Garafa are just paying his wages. It's only a loan move.
He's got to be getting something out of it. You know, every
he's getting a nice lifestyle and a warm climate.
Every single, you know, deal is different. So
that's true.
You know.
But Cisse chips him with the odd important goal. I thought that maybe he would have.
He's probably very, very expensive. And to be honest, Harry Redknapp's bringing in a lot of people.
Yeah,
so you'd imagine.
Oh, yeah, of course.
He's clearing decks, isn't he? He's probably got some more signings.
I think what Redknapp was trying to do, and rightly in my opinion, is building the team around the old school sort of QPR players and trying to build a real siege mentality. And I don't know, obviously, none of us know Gabriel Cisse, but I imagine he's not that much of a team player. Probably too much trouble than he's worth. Get a real team mentality. And the players don't want to buy into that, like Bissinga as well. I'll ship him out.
No, Bissinga. Apparently Bissinga was just he's annoying everybody with his Champions League winners ring or something like that. Apparently he's like giving it the big one.
What an idiot.
I love that walk up the training pitch. Oh, what's that, a draft? Oh, it's my Champions League winners medal.
Yeah, I question the mentality of all of those players that they sign for a club like QPR and then just aren't up for the fight when the reality of what that means comes in.
I hope QPR fans know that it could really go wrong for them very quickly if they get relegated. They've got a tiny stadium. Fernandez is propping them up, obviously. But, I mean, it's not always going to be the case. You know, you can't take it for granted. Yeah. And QPR are a similar size club to Portsmouth, really, in terms of stadium and stuff like that. I've seen it happen before. You know, it could happen again. They've got to be careful.
Well, you know, they compete with the Loic Remy transfers. A perfect example. They're paying, you know, 90,000,
yeah,
80,000. Just chucking money at the problem.
To be fair to them, they've now got a manager that, you know, will make sure nothing like that ever happens.
No.
So
he's a real belt and braces man when it comes to finances. So I'm sure they'll be fine.
He's a straight shooter.
Yeah.
There was a Midlands derby. It was West Brom 2, Aston Villa 2. Good comeback from West Brom. Aston Villa, you know, looking pretty good in the first half. Benteke with a peach. Nice to see.
Brilliant.
Nice to see Agbon Lahore amongst the goals.
That was like old Agbon Lahore, that goal.
Yeah, it was indeed. They were pegged back, but
it takes 6 months to recover now, then we'll get another one.
Aston Villa, 1 point off the relegation.
So fragile. Yeah. You could see as soon as they went, I know it's a bit different against United, but they went two up against United, just didn't know what to do. I think they needed Danny Murphy in there. Get him in there.
Do you think Danny Murphy?
Just sign him. Get him in there. Just get him in there. Get him in the change room. Get everyone quiet and go, right, everyone, calm down.
Yeah.
It's going to be okay. Give me the ball in the middle of the park.
Yeah.
I know he's not had a great time at Blackburn, but he's still got it.
I think that's very, very kind to Danny Murphy, but they need a player like that.
He's welcome.
I was going to say, I'm all for kindness to Danny Murphy.
I don't know where that came from, the Danny Murphy. Where's this?
Well, I think what Luke's perhaps saying is
they need someone
who's going to put their foot on the ball and just, oi,
Young'uns.
My rationale for it is, and that may be vastly overestimating how good Danny Murphy still is, I assumed he went back to the Northwest because he wanted to be near, close to his family and stuff like that. I've not seen much of him this season.
Because he misjudged how small the UK is.
Yeah, but the thing is, he's got, it doesn't matter, because he's got players, he'll have players at Villa buzzing around him all the time. He's got plenty of energy.
I mean, I think Murphy, it might be a step too far, the Premier League, but I mean, he could, you know.
It's not going to do any worse than currently.
If anyone from Aston Villa is listening, then it's worth a punt.
Yeah, to be honest, if...
Well, it is worth a
Villa fan, and they
sign
Danny Murphy now as the answer to all their problems, I'd be pretty annoyed.
But the thing is, though, at the moment, at one point of the relegation zone, it probably is worth a punt.
Yeah, I don't represent Danny.
They need more than a punt.
I know they do.
The Willie Mackay of the podcast.
Like, putting the mascot in the middle is a punt.
What would you suggest?
Someone along the lines of Danny Murphy. I think you're right in the principal, Luke. They definitely need some experience in there, because they are all at sea so often, and it is the case of keeping their heads.
Yeah.
Because as you say, that when they go up, they don't know what to do.
But what other candidates are there, though? You know,
have some Ritalin, kids. Come on.
Who's Luke Chadwick playing for these days?
I don't think he's Premier League quality.
The answer.
Although I am available for free for them. And I'm a bit younger than Danny Murphy as well. So
marginally.
Food for thought.
Marginally.
Fast food.
What else have we got? Michael Owen scored his 150th Premier League goal.
Depressing.
Yeah. Do you think?
Like watching a ghost.
Yeah.
The commentator said that he barely celebrated. I still think he celebrated too much.
He celebrated too much as well, actually.
It was such a sort of typical
yay me.
Well.
It was a yay me.
Straight on Twitter with a photo of the trophy cabinet.
Well done, you pleasure stock.
Yeah. Oh dear. And before we move to the Championship, we've got the little matter of Southampton sacking Nigel Adkins.
Mm. Yeah. Grim.
Strange one, because as we all know, Adkins has earned the right to be there.
Yeah.
But it's easy
Good
to
point
see.
Away to Chelsea.
It is quite easy to see why they've done it. I mean, the timing's a bit strange, but...
Do you think it was the right thing to do?
Not
bring in a pretty inexperienced manager who has no experience of
he's not inexperienced.
Certainly
he's only managed for 3 seasons?
Yeah, he did a good job. And then the other thing is, you've got to think of it in a joined up way. You've got to think of it as a long term thing and see that Pochettino is really good at bringing young players through, which Southampton got a reputation for. He's got good experience in La Liga, which is a decent league.
He left them with mutual consent.
Yeah, but surely they just evaporate all the momentum Adkins has been building up. You know, they've just got a good result against Arsenal. They've got a great result against Chelsea.
I'm not saying the timing isn't strange, because it is. But the chairman's obviously got... I mean, he's a bit mental, their chairman, but he's obviously got a vision, and he wants... What Pochettino needs to do is he needs to learn English very quickly, because the
apparently his grasp of English is better than what the players first thought. Pete, what were you going to say?
Well, to allow youth players to come through and not have them just picked off by other teams, they need to retain their Premier League status, and this kind of puts this at risk a little bit. And it's clear that the chairman wants to pick the team. He wants to say how the team is played. He's even clear that he wants to tell them what formation of players stuff like that. It just seems very bizarre that he's allowed to have so much say on stuff like this, and it sounds like the guy's coming in and just seems a little bit more open to that kind of idea, that sort of very sort of the sort of club on the continent that doesn't sign the manager, doesn't sign the players, the chairman signs the players and just gets awarded them to a certain extent.
I just think fair enough, I might have been too kind on Pochettino and on Cortese, who made the decision board account,
and Danny Murphy,
but yeah, yeah, that's possible, yeah,
you're very kind today,
but Pochettino, it's not as mental was everyone saying it. Everyone was trying to make out at the weekend that Pochettino was like this nobody that anyone's ever heard of. You know, he has got a bit of experience. He's had some good results at Espanyol, and he's done alright.
I think it's the speed of it that's maybe surprising.
Yeah.
And the timing, yeah, because like I say, I need to stress that, because Adkins has earned the right to be there. He's got successful promotions.
It was clear when Adkins went up, he did that weird speech at the end of the Championship where he says it's just nice to be here and stuff, and it was clear that the writing was on the wall for him. I think he sort of felt that he just didn't see eye to eye with the chairman, and this was kind of always going to happen, but it's a weird time to do it.
I think people are a little bit flabbergasted by it, because you've got a likeable guy, as you say, who's had success there. He's taken them up. He's got them some alright results. They're still well in there in the survival running.
They could feasibly stay.
Yeah, absolutely. And they've brought in a guy who's only have a few years experience in a totally different league. He's from a different country.
Was he 41?
I think he's 40, yeah. I mean, he did play against England in the 2002 World Cup, so...
He knocked Owen over, didn't he?
Exactly.
Naughty boy.
Oh, yeah, well, he didn't knock Owen over, but Owen made it look as though he did. So maybe he's out to get revenge. Watch out for the fixture against Stoke. Well, let's go to the Championship.
For 4 minutes at the end.
Another injury time consolation. We'll see that arm off again, won't we? Let's go to the Championship, where Cardiff, a great win for them away to Blackpool, 2-1. They have a 10-point lead at the top. Surely they can't mess this up. This
Come
is the
Cardiff.
Time.
We're all behind you.
This is the time. It must be Luke.
And they've had a good signing in Fraser Campbell as well.
Oh, they have, yeah.
For the Championship, he'll give them some more firepower.
Absolutely.
Provided they can stay fit.
Did I think for their first goal, it was like Gunnarsson, the sort of ball dropped. And he had ages to hit that ball, and he still only hit the post. Oh. There was that, and at the point where the ball went flying towards the policeman, and the policeman sort of like tried to dodge out the way and punched his friend's hat off.
Nice.
Which is brilliant. That's the best thing that happened in the league this weekend.
Cardiff are going great guns, and there's not even Swansea there to steal their thunder this time. Yeah.
Lovely volley from Tommy Smith as well.
Tommy Smith, there you go.
Talk to me about the Nuge.
The Nuge. He got the only goal when Leicester City played Middlesbrough. Good win for Leicester City.
Should have had 10.
That was a brilliant goal, though.
That was a great goal. Yeah. They're up to second Leicester. I mean, it's all very congested in the playoff spots, as it always is.
Borough are fifth, but they've lost three on the
Yeah, they've,
in a row,
they've had a funny time at Middlesbrough, but Leicester, I mean,
fabulous.
It really is a race for second place at the moment, isn't it? Yes,
it could turn around so quickly. There's still a fair few games.
Well, and we've put Watford in there, who beat Huddersfield quite handsomely 4-0, and they really impressed. And they had scored a great team goal. One of them,
Vidra, is a magnificent player. 20 years old, got 16 goals already. What a steal!
There's talk of Zola for the Chelsea job now, isn't there?
Seriously?
Yeah, that's what I said. I read that in the Evening Standard today.
He is literally their favourite player.
It's their favourite man.
Is that not just doing a Di Matteo again?
Well, I was going to say, he wants to have a chat with him, doesn't he?
But I don't know where Chelsea else. I mean, I don't want to go into this Premier League chat, but we don't know where else Chelsea can turn, do we? Their policy has basically ruined themselves.
Yeah, well, Pep's gone, so.
Yeah, is Pep really going to Chelsea really stick?
No, we'll talk about Pep in a bit.
We'll talk about Roman Abramovich.
Let's get back to the great Troy Deeney.
Yeah. They're just. another interim manager I would quite fancy there. But yeah, Watford looking good. They're 4 points off second place with a game in hand. Mm. I mean, they've come up from. They've not been hanging around the playoff spots too much.
Well, they've had a controversial policy of all these lone players coming in.
Yeah,
they
have, haven't they?
So yeah,
there you go.
Why not? You've got to adapt to survive.
A few funny ones from.
Is that more of a general point? Like Darwinism.
Life, you hear me, lemurs of Madagascar?
You get in that loan system. If you ever want to make it as a footballer rather than a lemur,
need natural predators, you pricks.
You only do find lemurs in Madagascar, don't you?
That's true. And they used to have giant ones, the size of bears.
I think you find there's one in Peru.
Again, food for thought.
Let's go to League One, where Brentford. No, it's not.
Okay. League One.
It's League One.
Yeah.
It's League Uno.
League snowed off.
Nearly.
Pompey, 3 weeks undefeated. two games in a row called off now. We'll take that. We haven't won a game since the middle of November.
Brentford lost 2-1 at home to Tranmere. And Brentford boss Uwe Rosler, ex Manchester City, of course, he had to come onto the pitch and appeal to home fans to stop throwing snowballs at Tranmere.
Did they then pelt him?
That would have been quite funny. The trouble was, though, they then started throwing like coins and cigarette lights.
Did they pack them into snowballs?
That's not snow.
It's like a snowball treat. You know what you're going to get? It's like having another cracker.
Tell that to the man on the receiving end of them.
Couldn't find any dog poo.
I think you could get a game called off if all of the fans brought their own snow. Just maybe in like frosted up cool boxes and started chucking it onto the pitch.
I remember there was
at Brentford they cleaned it themselves, didn't they?
Yeah. That was Swindon, was it?
No, they do it quite a lot.
Canio was down. Did he not buy a pizza for everybody as well?
Did he?
One massive one?
Yeah.
Hang on,
I can't think of a more Italian story than that. No.
Or was it spaghetti? He gave everyone a spaghetti.
And then gesticulated at them and then watched some opera.
And then drove in and out of them on his scooter.
And moved back in with his mum.
I remember back in the day clearing off the snow at Hartlepool United.
Did you?
Yeah, you did a lot.
Oh, you were part of David Cameron's big society.
And it still got
you're
cold.
The poster boy for the age of austerity.
I saw two amazing things this weekend with the snow. I saw a bloke come out and moan at a bunch of kids from using the snow off his car. Right, I don't know what he was thinking.
He that's my that snow.
Yeah,
kept.
Yeah, he said, "There's plenty of snow on the floor. Why don't you use that instead?" To which I was like, "What are you doing?" And he got pelted.
Quality.
And on the way back, I saw, and I felt like going up to him saying, "What did you think was going to happen then?" And
you know, they were in the right the moment you said that.
But having said that, I think later on I realised that they were actually pelting him at his house, which is a bit insult to injury. Snow off his own car hitting his own house.
True.
And then later on, I saw two kids throwing snowballs with stones in them at cars. And then I saw them hit an ambulance with the sirens on.
Ah,
you live. What bloody hell do you live?
Hello, yeah. Pompey, yeah, no. Yeah. It was in that leafy northwest London, actually.
Oh, yeah. Different part of town to me. There was a little lull in Walsall versus Bournemouth.
That was a joke of a game. Okay. So many amazing things happened in that match.
Well, and the most amazing one was when Walsall should have been awarded a penalty, really, but they weren't. And then O'Kane picked up the ball thinking that it had already been given, and of course, he then gave away a penalty.
David
no, no, it was the Bournemouth player who thought he got a free kick in his own penalty area. And he went over, picked the ball up, and then the referee gave Walsall
a penalty.
Eddie Howe was not angry because he's never angry, but he was the closest I've seen him to angry.
Right.
David James had an absolute stinker. Yeah, he was a bit dropping things left, right, and centre, rolling back the ears.
You might as well make that a jingle, because you can put that in every week.
Let's go to the league.
Yeah.
Where some things have been happening. Real Sociedad 3, Barcelona 2. My giddy aunt, Barcelona.
That was almost like a question.
They were 2-0 up, Barcelona. Pique was sent off.
Castro scored a goal.
And an injury time winner.
Nice name, isn't it?
You know, Sociedad, I mean, Barcelona aside, obviously, we have to say about everything, but Sociedad are the form team in La Liga at the moment. They're doing really well. I think only 3 points off fifth.
You would think at 2-0 up, even with 10 men, Barcelona wouldn't have been able to see that out, but no.
Well, was it 2-1? I think it was.
Sociedad have lost one game in their last 10, and that was at the Bernabeu, and they only lost that 4-3. They're in great form. I'll tell you who's tearing it up for them, Jimbo, as well. Carlos the Chip Vela.
Yeah.
Have him back, would you?
No.
Not even now?
No.
Look at the state of Arsenal.
He'd be a passenger. He wasn't good enough. He's doing well somewhere else, good for him, but, you know, it's
Would you
it didn't
rather
work
have
at
him
Arsenal. No.
On half the money.
Stop trying to make him say yes.
Stop moving the goalposts. The questions change so much that you have to accept Carlos Vela.
That's the next Wenger excuse. Stop moving the goalposts. I've seen you do it.
Atletico Madrid have slashed Barcelona's lead at the top to 8 points after they beat Levante 2-0. Real Madrid, they had a big score, 5-0 away at Valencia. All goals coming in the first half.
That was proper stop hitting yourself stuff, wasn't it? That was.
Can you remember? I'm pretty sure it was Valencia at the Mestalla had an amazing record in Europe at home. They hadn't lost at home in Europe for something like 75 years. It wasn't that many, but it was a lot. And so it made me a bit sad to see them lose.
It wasn't in Europe then.
Spain is in Europe.
Yeah. I'm not sure that's what the stat means.
No, probably not. No.
But we take your point. Yeah. The big news coming out of Spain, or wherever he may be at the minute, is Pep Guardiola will be the head coach at Bayern Munich.
It's an exciting prospect, isn't it? A bit of a curveball.
I'm delighted.
I think it's one of those ones where you think, oh, we thought, you know, England or Italy is anything. Oh yeah, it makes perfect sense, really, doesn't it?
It really does. I think it's a great move for him. I love the fact that he's not taken the filthy lucre of the Premier League. Obviously he's going to be paid very well at Bayern, but it's a nice fit for him. Heinkes is retiring, isn't he?
So
so there's no bad blood. Also, that motivates Bayern to just win everything they can for Heinkes. And it's just, it's such an exciting prospect with the talent that Bayern have got. How progressive Germany is with its football. It's perfect. It's a perfect fit.
I mean, they've got a bit of an academy there. They've got the money. It's there.
Can he do it in another league?
We'll find out, won't we, Jimmy?
Yeah, we'll find
out. Do you think that it's interesting that he signed a 3-year contract when he would never do that at Barcelona?
I think they probably wanted him. Bayern aren't going to let him just sign a 1-year.
You're going to have to make some sort of concessions.
Barcelona's a special one. He was always going to stick around for a bit. He just wouldn't walk out of Barcelona. Whereas Bayern, if you're going to put a lot of money into someone like Pep Guardiola, you've got to tie him down.
I think as well, at the time when Barcelona and Pep hooked up properly, you know, it was a good thing for them as well, because he was an unknown quantity, and obviously he could then sort of dictate his terms a bit more, and he did so well. So, you know, as you say, you can't really go into a club like Bayern Munich and expect that.
Do you think there's a good chance that Robin and Ribery will be moved on now then, because they're not
He is one for doing that. That's what Robert he did Ribery. At Barcelona, didn't Perhaps. he came in and he saw that those who were messing around a bit and one thing and another, and who were too big for their boots,
and he said, whatever the Spanish is for, I'm not having any of your saucy horse shit here, thank you very much.
Saucy horse shit.
That's the precise translation. Speaking of saucy stuff, Sven turned down the position at Munich.
Go on, get Pep on the phone. Loggerheads in.
Yeah.
Tord Grip's not giving us anything.
He was offered a 1 year rolling one, but they couldn't tie him down. Munich 1860. That would have been sensational. Munich having the best managers in the world.
He thought it was an 18-20.
To be fair, it still take 18-60.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, clap him in.
Yeah.
But he's taken the job as the technical director at Al Nassr in the UAE. That's much more.
I could do that job to the same level.
I've been commuting from technical director.
Yeah, there's definitely football being played. My work here is done. Let's do
as
lunch.
You were.
Woo.
Yeah. Technically a director.
Such a glorious position, isn't it?
What a life.
Interestingly enough, Dietmar Hamann was speaking to the press last week and mentioned that Eriksson's nickname in Germany is Horny Sven.
Yeah, good. I could have told you that.
Because he is the devil.
Ooh. I didn't realise it was.
What about Dietmar's, Didi's little
spat with Joey Barton? Joey Barton.
Not just Joey Barton. Nobby Solano got involved. Warren really? Barton got involved. They all had a go.
Solano just trumpeted it. Solano trumpeted the Jurassic Park theme tune.
So what was Solano saying?
Solano got involved and started saying, have a bit of respect. He's played 50 times for Germany. And then Warren Barton went, you should have respect to Nobby Solano.
Warren Barton was involved as well.
Yeah, Warren Barton got
involved. No relation to Joey Barton.
No, I'm not sure that's how life works.
Like a prince and the pauper style situation. Where
he would be like a kind of like dandy prince, wouldn't he, Warren Barton?
He'd take his big blonde wig off and he looks just like Joey Barton.
Oh dear. Right, let's quickly go to the Serie A because there's some transfer talkings there. Milan, of course, they beat Bologna 2-1 at the weekend, double for Pazzini. Lovely second goal was glorious. But they're apparently making moves to bring Mario Balotelli back to Northern Italy.
Is that the kind of players they need, really? No.
Yeah. Someone to rely on.
something changed, so Milan have got some money now then? Because I've not been keeping up with it the last week.
No, they've said that basically if this is going to happen, City need to drop their asking price. It's just not how that works.
Well, they're going to go into
I want this iPod, but if I'm going to have it, you're going to have to knock the price down.
That's how this works. Is Gary Cook still working there? Put him on the phone. Oh, he's not. Oh, right, okay.
Gary, you bottled it last time.
There's talk of a loan move for Kaká. There is. Galliani saying the same thing, that, you know,
sacrifices are needed.
Financial sacrifice.
Sacrifices are needed.
It's almost like he thinks the world revolves around me then.
But he's trying to get it back to that, I think.
Oh, what? This player. You have to drop
eventually, the Milan lab will just get so good they'll just breed their own players.
Yeah.
And they won't need any of this transfer shit.
What about across town? An Inter, Internacional.
Well, across the stadium.
Whereas there has been a concrete transfer, if that's such a thing. Wesley Sneijder has gone to Galatasaray.
Mm. Yeah, he's not that good anymore, is he?
Clearly. He's only 28, Sneijder. That's a strange one for me. Surely he could have got a better club.
He's in the middle of a Torres-esque drop-in form. So it's World Cup 2010, basically. And Galatasaray paying him a king's ransom. Mm. But there was talk of him being linked to Liverpool, and someone on Twitter, I forget who it was, made an excellent point, which is, Rogers is trying to assemble like an upwardly mobile young team here. Mm. The last thing they need is some egotist coming in on massive wages. And the reason he's gone to Galatasaray is because they're probably just, and it's a sad fact when you think about World Cup 2010. Mm-hmm. But no one else is going to pay him that much money.
Well, of course you've got the money, but he'll be an enormous fish. Not a bad pond, but
a passionate pond.
Yeah.
Bubbling, furious pond.
It may occasionally be on fire.
There's some great games and fixtures in Turkey.
God, yeah.
Of course, it's not one of Europe's leading leagues, but he'll get Champions League football. I mean, sometimes they do okay. Mm. And he'll be
a god there. Remember the reception he'll be the Darius Vassell god.
That wasn't quite a Galatasaray, to be fair.
But it was in Turkey.
Yeah, I know that.
Yeah, there we go. Right, let's go to the African Cup of Nations.
Yay!
All right!
Thank fuck for that. We're here.
Got through that dross.
Yeah.
Cape Verde have got a point, Pete.
Yeah, it was good.
They drew 0-0 against South Africa, the hosts.
Poor performance.
I think it's definitely the worst game of the season I've seen.
It's not been a good opening round of games, has it?
What has been strangely nice, and I never thought I'd say this, has been hearing the Vuvuzelas.
Oh, yeah.
Like a, just like a
little
when
bit
I'm
of
not
nostalgia.
Just smashing them into your ears, Jim.
Jim, wake up.
I'm slightly wary that there's a lot of empty seats.
Well, are you surprised by that?
Yeah.
I'm not surprised by that. No. The other thing is that the South Africa Cape Verde game, in those, I mean, Cape Verde are the best ranked team in that group. And those, both those teams could have played for about a fortnight and never scored. The final third quality was so poor. It was a real bad advert for the game. Because remember when that's they right. opened South Africa opened the World Cup and Shabalala scored that goal?
Yeah.
It was amazing. It was like,
Bafana, Bafana.
Goal for all of Africa and all that banter.
Yeah, well, it can't be all of Africa now. They're all playing.
That's true. Yeah.
They've lost their powers. Angola, nil, Morocco, nil. Another goalless draw. Group A really needs to sort itself out. Group B, there was a little bit more action. Ghana went 2-0 up against DR Congo.
Everyone's got a pop man this year for some reason.
Everyone's got a pop man.
Everyone's getting on the pop
come
man.
On. The good doctor.
Yeah.
They fought back.
But Dr. Congo have got an absolutely magnificent goalkeeper. His name is Mutida Kidiaba. I'm sure we all saw the bum shuffle dance that he did and he repeatedly does. But he's got this huge beard and just like a sort of very tiny ponytail. Yeah. He's just brilliant.
Well,
this
like was
some
a
sort of mythical beast.
I think
that was his celebration.
Like, it looks a bit like Wagner Love.
It does, but yeah.
His hair is kind of like. It's a ponytail, but he's not used all of the hair on his head. He's just used a very small portion of it. Like, yeah, that'll do. That's a ponytail.
Well, it's his celebration when they equalised.
The bum shuffle.
It was like...
the bum's rush, Marcus.
It was like he was on a space hopper.
No, it was too low to the ground. More vibrating funhouse platform.
Yeah, that'll do.
He plays for TP Mazembe. We reported on them winning the African Championship.
Yeah, yeah. That's right. Mali beat Niger 1-0. Keita scored a goal. So Group B's well underway. Group C, Zambia, the Copper Bullets, Havre and Arden Co. They drew 1-1 with Ethiopia. Great point for Ethiopia.
Come on,
they were down to 10 men after their goalkeeper nearly killed Russia.
Oh, it was outrageous.
It was Schumacher.
There was talk in my office of Schumacher, worse than Schumacher. I wasn't having that, but it was quite bad.
Yeah, it was up there.
Good to see Collins and Mbassuma get on the sheet for Zambia.
Yeah.
Winner of the Leslie Maniathela Golden Boot Award 2005. I think it's about
we all remember.
Yeah, 27 goals in 30 games, Jim, in the South African League. Came to Pompey for a king's ransom. About 3 stone overweight. Literally no goals.
He's never scored.
No, this was a single
not one.
Goal. No.
Well, how many games?
About 4. He got on the team about 4 times. Yeah. So.
And then they realised. And Nigeria drew 1-1 with Burkina Faso. Lovely point for Burkina Faso. Scored right at the death.
Yeah.
Still all to play for. All to play for. But maybe a bit more goals.
Can you see her? Can you please see her, Ronaldo?
We're always pleased to see her.
And what was he wearing?
I'm not, even a woman, and I'm over the moon to see him.
A gay man.
Hang on a minute. What have we got here? Is it time for Diego Corner?
It's back. A welcome return.
Oh my,
we can all agree.
Goodness.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
What the hell's he been up to?
Well, we'll find out.
Just generally being like rational, not making any rash decisions, keeping a level head.
Yeah.
The stuff you sort of tend to associate with El Diego.
Yeah.
He's decided that he no longer wants to work in football.
Oh well, that's why we haven't heard from him.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So,
did he decide that, or a football? Decide
a cynic
that?
Might say.
Both.
Yeah.
Well, a cynic might say we sort of thought that when we saw how you managed the Argentina national team.
Apparently, during the World Cup, he didn't get up until noon one day. So they just didn't have training.
and then I bet you he was like, we're doing shooter practice now and I'm doing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's quality.
He was Roy Hodgson.
Yeah.
Just sleeping in.
Yeah.
Oh, just 3 more hours.
Yeah.
Fabio.
Yeah.
I ate a lot of onions last night.
That's apple night playing solitaire.
Just but yeah, can't stop looking at Twitter.
The reason that I go
on. Finals.
Have you seen these fucking lolcats? They are lol.
Yeah.
So good.
It's quite an interesting one. What's made him come out of this? Because he said that the reason he doesn't want to work in football anymore is because he's disillusioned with the way Matheus Almeida was treated at River Plate, who are
right.
massive rivals of his team. He said, I was disgusted with the way they fired Almeida because by Sunday they had Roman Diaz and I no longer want to work in soccer. To present a new coach in 3 days, it disgusts me. I don't want to do it again.
It's not him.
It sounds like he's been waiting for some petty excuse to suddenly...
Yeah.
This is nothing new, is it?
What him being mad?
Him being mad, but the thing that's, pushed him off the even deeper end.
Him being mad as a nail. He's not new. No, but there's a little update for you there, listeners. So you won't expect to see Diego back in football anytime soon.
Yeah, I have a suspicion we will be revisiting Diego Corner.
Yeah.
Flipping it. Yeah. Is that all from Diego Corner?
It's time for Sepp's Street.
Well, make your way back over, because I've got a little update on Seppi B.
Probably put like a bed of Sesame Street underneath. Can you tell me how to get to Sepp Street?
No, it's too long, Sepp.
Sepp Street. Well, Sepp, we were all looking forward to him stepping down as FIFA president, and that would be the end of him with football. But no, he said he'd like to be a football pundit after he steps down from the game. He said, "I would like to live the dream I had when I was a young boy."
Mm. What a strange boy he must have been.
Didn't want to be a player. No. I want to talk about those guys. Yeah. Maybe he's just a bit more realistic, actually. And it's that realism that got him to the top, Jim.
Do you think this whole thing has been a ploy? Just so he can find it.
Oh, without a doubt. I'm in my 70s. I've earned my stripes. He said, "I would like to comment on the games, but I would not say now he passes right or left, because everybody can see that on TV. But I would make comments on tactics or techniques." BBC will have him.
I love that, I love that he's explaining what a pundit is.
Well, he's probably turned on the telly and gone, "How do they do it?" Oh, actually.
He's going to be no worse. Let's be honest. He's going to be no worse than like Garth Crooks and Robbie Savage, Perry Groves. He'll be better than all them.
But whoever he sits down with who's doing the main commentary, the main commentator is going to be like, "Oh, you were slagging off my job earlier on. You said it was obvious what was happening. So do you want to go fuck yourself?
Why don't you try it?"
And I just like how he sort of like. Can you imagine at his opening sort of? Would he go for a pleatism? Would he sort of go, "Good evening, everyone"?
I think he would just go, and then go, "I'll be joined by Sepp Blatter," and he would just go, "You're welcome."
It'll be suddenly Sepp. It would be like when Hugo Chavez just announces some mad thing.
He just strolls onto the television
through a mouthful of food.
And Pat Nevin has to quickly get up off his seat and let Sepp sit down.
"Good evening, everyone. Racism isn't a problem. Women should wear shorter shorts when they play."
"I don't agree with technology in football, so this is the end of this broadcast."
See ya.
Oh, well, now it's time for Pete's game. A little light relief.
Pete, by the way, we should make an apology, because the dirty rat that messaged in last week with Leon Britton's Got Talent apparently stole it off Soccer AM.
Oh.
Well, you know, it's not hardly a massive leap, is it? Come on.
No,
you know,
fuck true.
It proves that
there is every chance that two people could come up with that.
I was more surprised that they had a viewer.
I didn't know they were still going, to be honest. Yeah.
That's a dig.
Dig.
Right, PT.
Diggsville, USA.
They've never asked us to be on.
Take him down to Dick. Take him down to Dick Tip.
Well, this suggestion for this game comes from one David Woodgate. He hit me with a few, but I think my favourite was Mock the Key, Kima Sampa.
So that was your favourite.
Yeah. Don't read the others out.
Thin end of a shitty wedge. Yeah. Thanks for that, Woodies. Thanks for that, Woodster. Right. First clue. I was born in Ostivol.
Don't know where that is.
I was born in Ostivol.
Is that the start to Yellow Submarine?
Yes.
Stop. Steve Malbrank.
No.
Stop. Ringo Starr.
My first international goal was the 1,000th goal in the history of my national football team.
Mm. I reckon it's a bit of a curveball. He wants to think striker, but I reckon it was defender up from a corner.
I've made more Premier League appearances than any other Norwegian.
Stop. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
No.
Stop. Oh, go on.
Henning Berg.
No.
Stop. John Jensen.
No.
Stop.
Not Norwegian.
He's Danish.
In 20,
yeah, of course he is. Well, I keep getting those mixed up. I did the opposite of that in another one.
In 2010, I drunkenly assaulted my business partner at my house.
Stop. John Dahl Thomason.
No.
He's Danish as well.
Stop that!
What the hell?
Stop.
I've got a blind spot in my head.
Stop. Michael Laudrup. Say Brian.
Stop.
Jan Colby.
No, stop a minute. Stop. Brian Laudrup.
Oh. It's not him.
Stop.
Or Peter Schmeichel.
It's because I sometimes forget this people actually listen to.
Stop. Kasper Schmeichel.
Stop. Peter Schmeichel.
No.
You can't do one round.
Inside of bacon.
Right. Next time, you nasty little racists. I'm going to only have one crack per clue. There you go. In July 2012, I claimed that I, my teammates,
Stop.
And opposing captains were involved in betting fraud.
It's Tori Andrew Flo.
No. We could make deals with the opposing captain about, for example, betting on the first throw, the first corner, who started with the ball, a yellow card or a penalty. Those were the sort of things we had influence over. These allegations were later denied by Francis Benali.
Stop. I was going to say it's a Southampton player.
Morten Gamst Pedersen.
Stop. No. Klaus Lundekvam.
Klaus
yes. Lundekvam. Yes! Have that! Everybody.
Well, because
spoiler again.
Wasn't Matatissier talking about?
Yeah, he was. Right? That's why I knew it was Southampton.
He's a dirty cheat.
Scored the 1,000th goal for Denmark.
Nasty little buggers, you are.
Yeah. It's funny how he played for Norway when he was really Danish.
Assaulted his business partner.
Have we got any bloody correspondence?
Yes, this week's correspondence is a simple question across twitter.com/footballramble, facebook.com/footballramble, and thefootballramble.com/forum. The question was, what are your snowy football memories?
Oh.
What are your snowy football memories?
Okay.
Dan Shoesmith, regular contributor, writes in with...
Dan
John-
Shaw.
Pardon?
Dan Shaw.
Alright. Yeah. John Motson on grandstand, he says, in full sheepskin with a blizzard blowing behind him, gamely explaining why the game had been called off, you know, in case people didn't have eyes. Rex Hudgill makes a really good point. I'm not sure if you guys are aware of this. He says, when Sunderland were relegated with just 15 points in 2006, they would have had even fewer, but their game against Fulham in April was abandoned due to snow. They were 1-0 down when it was cancelled, and they ended up winning the rescheduled game, so they've only had 12 points without that.
Well, they might have gone on to.
I thought that, yeah, well, I thought that was interesting. Tom Solon said, I turned up for training once and a few of my mates were already there larking about with a massive snowball.
Oh, right? They threw
something,
it at him.
Something we'd do for a laugh. One of them bet that I couldn't kick all the way through it. I ran up and booted the huge boulder they'd obviously covered in snow. I broke my foot and was out for 6 weeks. I didn't even get a week off school because it was the Christmas holidays.
Oh, bloody.
Oh, your mates are pricks.
Yeah.
Disaster.
Yeah, Callum Rivett says, playing a cup game for my youth team, under 13s, -7 degrees, torrential rain / hail, and a severely cold and strong wind, so strong that when the ball went up in the air, it actually landed 5 yards behind the player who kicked it. Our left back had to borrow his nan's hat and gloves to keep warm.
Is it snow? See, I heard hail, I didn't hear snow.
Maybe there was a bit of sleet. Give him the benefit of doubt. Okay. He said, practically every parent went and sat in their car, and we lost one player in the first half because he couldn't take the cold. You should have named and shamed him.
Yeah.
And the worst part was it went to extra time. We won 5-3. Lots of tweets about Chelsea away to Tromso in the UEFA Cup in about 97,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Jonathan Pearce calling Zola the little snowmobile. And Eddie Brad finishes us off by saying, Lars Bohinen, well, I've got a few issues with this one, maybe you guys can get on board with this. Lars Bohinen playing for Blackburn, he was colourblind so he couldn't see the match ball. That's not true,
that's
is it?
Not,
that cannot be
that's,
true.
That's poor.
Shut up, Eddie.
Yeah, up yours, Eddie. Slag off, Eddie, Jim.
Yeah.
Fuck off, Eddie. Yeah, good.
Hey, there's the show title.
Pete.
Oh, Eddie, you probably aren't very clever. You think about it.
That's a full house.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the most cutting. I think that's the one that'll really finish him off.
Right. Ladies and gentlemen, it's profile time. And we've got an Austrian man. It's Tony Polster.
Ooh. Legendary.
What a hairdo.
Collect surveys.
Proper curly hair.
Brilliant mullet.
Brilliant.
Mullet.
He's born on the 10th of March, 1964.
Oh, just 3 and a bit years before the summer of love.
Easy one, easy one.
Cheers for that, mate.
One of Austria's finest players. And their national team's greatest goal scorer ever.
Ever.
Exactly.
And obviously Austria were a very big contributor to international football, especially in like the 30s. And that was
Sindelar
and the Wonder Team and that sort of thing.
All that kind of crap, yeah.
Respectful, isn't it? Yeah.
They're in the hall.
Revolutionised football. The Vienna coffee shop culture. All that crap.
That was Lundek van.
He was a product of the Austria Vienna youth system and went to score many, many goals for the first team. He made his debut at the age of 18 for Vienna, and he had a fruitful time there, it's safe to say. 3 league titles, 3 Austrian Bundesliga top goalscorer awards, 1 Austrian Cup, and 1 European Golden Shoe in 1987.
Brilliant.
Golden Shoe, Jim. In that season, he scored 39 goals. His league record in Austria is 119 goals in 147 matches.
Can't argue with that, can you?
You wouldn't,
it's
would you?
Well above the acceptable Dean Windass Hall of Fame standard ratio.
Apart from with Dean Windass.
Yeah. It's an exception that proves the rule.
This means nothing to me or Vienna. Get on his international career.
Well, he made his debut for the national side shortly after starting for Vienna in 1982, scoring against Turkey immediately. Although he'd have to
wait immediately
yeah, from this. he had to wait 3 more years for his next international goal, but continued to score throughout the 80s with Austria. Now, due to his goal scoring exploits at club level, he earned him a move to Serie A with Torino. He's just there for one season, did okay, but it was with his next side Sevilla in La Liga where he really started to score lots of goals again. In 3 seasons in southern Spain, bagged over 50 goals. Now it was during his time at Sevilla that he played at Italia 90. His goals helped his goals helped them qualify, including a hat-trick in their qualification group against East Germany.
I remember in that group stage, Austria in a group with USA,
yep,
Italy, Czechoslovakia, and Andres Ogris scored an absolute beauty. Ran from his own half.
Was that them? He dinked it, did he? Or
yeah, he dinked it at the end. I'd like to think Tony Polster, if he was playing, I haven't checked, made the run to take the defender out of the way, probably.
Yeah.
Give him credit.
Austria didn't fare too well in Italy and went out in the first round. The big man didn't score one.
Would he be disappointed with that, Marcus?
He would be disappointed with that, yeah. A year after the World Cup, he moved after a successful period with Sevilla to another Spanish side, Logroñés, and scored goals for them. A year later, he went to Rayo Vallecano, scoring goals there as well. After 5 years
that's
in Spain.
Pete's Spanish. Team.
Oh, yeah, Rayo Vallecano.
Yeah, give him a nod.
Little nod there to Pete's team. After 5 years in Spain, where he was always a big fan favourite, he moved to Germany to play for Cologne and enjoyed a lovely spell there too, Jim. Now, it was funny when he went to Germany, he was deemed too slow, a little bit overweight, and at nearly 30, the German press was saying his best years are behind
him.
But
I can imagine they generally approved of his haircut. It was a mullet.
There was no strong hair.
I think they're probably a bit wary of Austrians coming over. Trying to be successful.
Naughty.
You know, in their own ways.
Naughty. In his first season, he was only one goal behind league top goal scorers Tony Eboa and Stefan Kuntz.
Come on, eh? Oh. What a triple.
Oh, that makes me feel young and old.
Yeah.
He didn't score in Cologne's first 4 matches of that season, but then scored 4 braces in 6 games.
That's brilliant.
Which was the start of his nickname, Twin Pack Polster.
Lovely.
that's in Germany, or in German, that would be Doppelpack Polster. Which is wonderful.
Twin Pack Polster. Come on.
Every time I get one of those, I always reminds me of what we always say, which is that English players' nicknames are rubbish.
They are, yeah. They absolutely are.
The following season, he finished second, did the goal-scoring charts again, proving he was a proper poacher. His third season, it blighted with injuries, and the German press finally thought that age had caught up with him, and he was now over the hill. However, in his fourth season, he was back, 21 goals in 32 games.
Yeah. Shove that right.
Trying over the hill, me.
Yeah, exactly. He's a real hero with the Cologne faithful, and has been really ever since. That season, Cologne did find themselves in a relegation fight towards the end of the season. They were in trouble, they needed a saviour. Polster went on a scoring spree, scoring 9 goals in 4 games and steered them to safety.
And he said, what are you worried about?
Yeah. Tony Golster, more like.
Doppelpack Golster.
Yeah, Lolster.
Seriously though, Cologne is a lovely part of the world.
It is, Lalonde. Unfortunately for him,
someone rein him in.
Sorry, the following,
Colonel Kurtz.
The following season, they were relegated. Ah. Oh. Stop your laughter now. He then joined Borussia Mönchengladbach. Sorry, I wanted to say Mochen and München. And they were relegated too. But in between those clubs, he did play at France 98.
Didn't relegate anyone there.
No, they didn't. At France 98, he scored 7 goals in qualifying.
He scored against Cameroon in that game.
He did indeed. It's worth saying that in 96, he broke Hans Krankl's record for Austria in 96, who's. But some people would suggest he's Austria's greatest ever player.
Yeah.
Sindelar might have issue with that. But in the summer of 98, he went to the World Cup and he hadn't scored a major tournament previously. So he did get his goal against Cameroon in the last minute. Austria went out in the first round. They drew 2, lost 1 and were edged out by Chile by a point for place in the second round. But it was nice for Polster getting his goal at the World Cup because that was his last goal for the national side. His record is played 98 and scored 44. 44 goals
for that club, for that team as well.
It's absolutely superb.
Yeah, for sure.
It really is, because I mean, Officer have never been, you know, not for years, one of the big sides, you know. And he was given a farewell match against Iran 2 years later, which was quite nice.
Why Iran?
Why
not?
Yeah,
yeah.
He finished playing in 2000, having returned to the Austrian league with Salzburg for a brief stint. Now, another string to his bow is that he sings. And he's been involved in musical projects.
Is he in a band with Slaven Bilic?
I knew Bilic was going to get mentioned.
Which is why you did this.
Correct.
Well, he did say about it, he said, I take music very seriously, and I think those who listen to my music realise that. In the beginning, people scoffed at the idea, but now people come to my concerts and are amazed.
Humble. It's just humble.
Yeah.
It's like he's in Muse or something. What's his band called?
I think he's involved. He lends his voice and does a few bits and pieces of his own.
He does have a band.
Well, I think he teamed up with the band. I don't know if he's in there.
It's apparently called Acton.
Is it teaming up with a band?
I'm not sure if he's in that band though.
Okay, right.
He might have been.
You're the Demon of the Fame Master, so you'd know better than me.
How'd you chuck a man like that out of your band? Get out.
Yeah, your mullet's 280s. People think we're a Europe covers band.
Do we have a sort of Dean Windass Hall of Fame band yet?
Bilic.
Have we got enough musical members?
Bilic's not in there.
I don't think we have, mate.
Hold on. No, he is, because Croatia 98.
There you go. Is Gareth Ainsworth in there? he plays a bit.
Dublin.
Claudio Canigia.
Brian Clough love belted out the Sinatra Classic, so he'll be up for it.
It's a hell of a band in there somewhere.
Brilliant.
Yeah, but he's coming into Dean Windass Hall of Fame.
Sorry, Goldstone. Can't believe that wasn't his nickname, Goldstone.
Yeah. Big thanks to Christian Niari, who did a great piece on Polster. A lot of that information from him. Great stuff. Right, ladies and gentlemen, that is the end of the football ramble for this week. Hope you've had a lovely time. If you want to get in touch, the email address is show@thefootballramble.com, and the website is thefootballramble.com.
Yeah, a few articles this week. One called It's Okay, You're Allowed to Not Like Stoke.
Caused a bit of a stir.
Yeah, wow. Polemic.
Stoke some ire.
Yeah, exactly. Stoke the flames.
Is it?
Yeah, one called The Master Returns about Pep back in management. Lots of different bits and pieces. So just get involved. Oh, yeah, great video of. Well, not great video. A shocking video of what Pete was referring to last week of Nasri and Shamak being abused by Arsenal fans. Not really very edifying, but worth a look.
Worth a look. Right then. So goodbye, Jim.
Sorry, just got one thing I'd like to
say. Oh, steady. I smell a plug up on comedy. Thank you.
Yep, that's going to happen. It's a tune out now. Next Tuesday, 29th of January, I'm doing a show at the Camden Monarch. It will be about £2. If you get there for like 7:30, I'm just going to work out some ideas. And Carly Smallman will be doing an actual show that is very funny. So Camden Monarch, 29th, come down.
If you want to see Pete work out some ideas, just... find a night that he's left the curtain open.
Which he does.
In his bedroom. Which he sometimes does on purpose.
The ideas always involve him having sex.
Yeah.
So goodbye, Jim.
Bye.
Bye, Pete.
Goodbye.
Bye, Luke.
Goodbye.
And goodbye from me. See you next time, beauties.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.